before this one. So that's so back in the day, because the more my mind, I don't know whether it ages or gets more full. I can't remember if it happened yesterday or if it happened, you know, a week ago, or if it happened a month ago, or happened last year. I would say, that's on the calendar. It was like 3.5 years ago we did. So it's back in the day, okay? To happen before that, so it's really back in the day. So back in the day, I can remember one. It was deer season back in the day, and Cheryl's uncle and I were farming together, and he called me and he said, "Do you have?" And I can't remember what he said, but a battery charger or something. And I said, "I do not have the battery charger." The last I knew, the battery charger was in the shop. We had a couple different spots. We had an old milk house. You only have code names for the things on the farm. You know, it's the oak tree, and, you know, it's this, and nobody ever, I don't know how else to tell. You don't know the GPS coordinates to all these things. So you had the shop, and then you had the old milk house. And the old milk house was where we kept some of the tools and some of the things. In the old milk house, the majority of the tools were in the shop. Well, some of the tools that we would need in the barn and around the tractors, because the shop was a little further away, we kept in the old milk house. Made sense. And I tell you what, when it gets cold in northern Pennsylvania, a battery charger is one of those things you need. Just saying. So the battery charger was kept in the old milk house, but we had it down in the shop because we were rebuilding a tractor at that time. We had a tractor that was completely ripped down, putting all new pistons and sleeves and everything, new bearings, everything in this tractor. I said, "It's down in the shop," and he called me, and we didn't have cell phones back then, so you had to figure out where the other guy was and call and say, "Hey, Bill, I know, did you see Ed go by?" type of deal. "No, he's here," you know, so you can track each other down. So he called me and said, "It's not in the shop either, and I think you better come over." I said, "Okay." So I come over, and not only was the battery charger not in the shop, there wasn't any other tools in the shop as well. There wasn't any other tools in the old milk house. Someone had come in the night before and had taken everything out of our shop. They stole every tool that we had from the milk house, the old milk house, and from the shop. Everything was gone. All the welders were gone. All the tools were gone. All the torches were gone. Everything in the shop was gone. It was like you swept the floor. Everything was gone. We had been robbed. And so we called the police, is what you normally do, and we did that even in redneck country. We called the police, and the police come. The state police responded to our need, and they came over, and they started a report, and a report was taken. And there's not much they can do. There was a couple other places that got hit the same night. Some guy lost a pair of four-wheelers, and another guy lost some tools and some chainsaws. And so there wasn't much they could do, but they could record it. Then they could start taking note of what was missing. And so if they found it somewhere else, they could put two and two together. I'm not trying to do police work, but I think that's the way they do it. And so it was like a week or so later, they called me. The state police called me. And they said, we would like you to investigate some of, not investigate, but to observe some of the tools that we found. And they're in a location, and we'd like to pick you up, and we'd like to take you over to this location. And we would like to see if you can identify any of these tools that are in this location as your tools. I said, okay. So a little while later, a state police a car pulled up in front of our house, and I got in, and we rode just a few miles away from our farm over on the other hill. There again, other hill is 6 or 8 miles is sometimes the minimum, okay? It's not like the other street. I've learned that. It's the other hill is not the other street. So I got in, and we rolled over to the other side of the hill, to the other hill, and we got out, and we went into this building. It was like a kind of a garage shop type of situation. And I walked in, and I really, just to be honest, I thought I was in the tool department of Lowe's. I'm like, I don't know whether I have to purchase stuff here or what. I mean, there was some good stuff there. There were 5-horse air compressors in this shop. There were tools. There were drills still in the boxes. There was just about everything you can imagine deep into this shop. There's so many tools in this shop that you could not work in this shop. It was a tool shop, but you know, workshop. It was a tool shop. And I began, he said, just take your time. And the guy started to come out of the house, and the police officer says, you may want to stay at the house, because we didn't want any altercations, I guess. They had guns. I did not, so I was going to listen to what they were telling me to do. So I went in and looked around, and I didn't find anything that even resembled something that we had. And I got back in the police car, and as he's taking me back to my house, I made this statement. I said, hey, that guy's got a lot of nice tools. And the police officer said, I'm pretty sure they're not his. And we will find out whose they are, and we will return them. And I found out then that the items that were not his, they were not his. Push the button, please. The items were not his and were not being used by him. But the rightful owners also were unable to use them. You get me there? They were not his, and he was not using them. But he had taken them from the rightful owner and just stored them there. And then the rightful owner was now missing what was rightfully his, and he's unable to use them. The enemy does the same thing in your life and my life. He will rob you and store it. He will rob and store. He will rob and store. He's looking to rob you. He is going to rob you blind if he can do that. He will steal and store. He will not use what is stolen. As a matter of fact, he has no plans to use what is stolen. Truthfully, he is unable to use what is stolen. The goal is to take it from you. Are you with me this morning? The goal is for him just to take it from you. He cannot use what he wants to take from you. He just don't want you using it. And he's going to steal it from us. The goal is to keep you from using. Using what? Listen, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's going to kill and destroy you and me by stealing from you what is rightfully yours. Because Jesus goes on to say this, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The enemy's goal is to kill and destroy by stealing from you, to keep you from using what is rightfully yours. That should tick us off. I'm telling you what, I was angry when I went to that shop. Enough living without the life to the fullest. Enough living without what God has given to you and to me. He's gave it to you, and the enemy comes in and takes it and just puts it in storage because he has no intention, nor can he use what he has taken from you. What are his targets? What are his targets? What is he looking for? Let me just give you a blank statement. Anything God has given you. Anything that God has given you, the enemy has targeted to steal from you. Anything that he has given to you. Anything that part of that life that Jesus is going to give you to the fullest. Anything. He doesn't care how small or how big. He takes it from you. I preached a message years ago and using the passages of Job. And I said, it's not about your camels. And the enemy stole the camels from Job. But he didn't want the camels. He didn't want the camels. He wanted Job to be killed and destroyed. But he stole from Job. He stole from Job. Are you with me this morning? That should just grind our teeth. That what is rightfully yours and rightfully mine, what Jesus has given us, anything that Jesus has given us. Look at the first thing. Look at some of the very first things that the shepherds heard that it was coming, that God was going to give us. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. God said, I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to listen to what the angels say. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. Guess what the enemy wants to take from you? Your peace.
because God wants to give you, and God has given you peace, and the enemy is after whatever God gives you, and guess what he's after? For one of the things, he's after your peace. And if he can get your peace, he's going to have a good chance of killing and destroying you. Now, he might take your joy, right? We'll talk about that another time. And he can take a lot of other things. But the first thing that we hear the angels say, wait a minute, God's going to deliver peace to this earth. And he's going to give you peace. And the enemy says, target number one, peace. I'm taking your peace. I'm taking your personal peace. I'm going to take the peace out of your family. I'm going to take the peace out of your workplace. I'm going to take your peace. I'm going to take your peace. I can't use it. Don't worry. I'm just going to store it. But all I care about is you not using it. Because I know that if you use it, I may be in trouble. Peace means wholeness or prosperity, security, absence of war and conflict. The enemy doesn't want any of that in your life, and he wants to take peace away from you so you're not whole, so there's no prosperity, so there's no security, so there is not the absence of war and conflict. Am I making sense this morning? He's after you. It should really grind our teeth. And don't think he's not hunting you every single day. And he's going to take your peace, and he's after your peace, the peace, this wholeness, this prosperity, this security, this absence of war and conflict. And John 14, 27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. There it is, you got it. Target, you're a target, your peace is a target. He can't get you because you're a child of the Most High God, but he can rob you of your peace. And when he gets your peace, he'll dismantle you. And when he gets your peace, he'll destroy you. And when he gets your peace, he'll let you live in part, not in wholeness. He gets your peace, you'll live in fear, not in security. When he gets your peace, he'll start to take you apart. This should grind our teeth. I'm going to rename this message. This should grind your teeth. In Colossians, why does he want your peace? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Because there's a ruling factor about that peace. From Jesus, he wants to give you direction in your heart. And so if I can take that, look what he's going to do. If I can take that peace that Jesus has given you, all of a sudden, you've lost the direction in your heart. Because that's what the scripture says. Let that peace. But if I have no peace, then it can't do what it's supposed to do, right? I think I'm making sense. I'm making sense in my own brain. Sometimes that's scary. But all of a sudden, Jesus, I've given you some peace. I've given you peace. Now let that peace give you direction. Let that security and that wholeness and that absence of conflict between me and you, let that start giving you strength. Let it rule in your heart. Look at Corinthians says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Guess what? When there is no peace, what is there then? Disorder. Chaos. So now he says, if I can get your peace, listen, if I can get your peace, and then all of a sudden you're losing your direction, and if I can get your peace, all of a sudden now I'm getting your security, and I'm getting you have the inability to weed through the chaos in your life. See, I don't think I credit it enough to this peace that God has given me and what it does. Oh, we sing about it at Christmas time, and it's always this sweet little thing, and we fold our hands, and we sing, and we put a little smile on it. You know how powerful peace is? You know how powerful the wholeness is? You know how powerful the security is? You know how powerful the lack of conflict is? You know how powerful it is? It's so powerful that Jesus says, let it rule your heart. It's so powerful that it displaces chaos in our lives. And the enemy says, I'm after your peace. And I'll get your peace. And then I'll take your direction. And I'll put you in chaos. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guess what? When there's no peace, guess what there isn't? There's no guarding of your heart and your mind, and your mind starts to wander, and your mind starts to get in the weeds, and your mind starts to grow weeds, and your mind starts doing this. And then you lack direction, then you're in chaos. Are you with me this morning? We need peace. Because without peace, that happens. And the enemy is after your peace and my peace. And he's not going to use it. Matter of fact, he can't use it, but he's going to put it in the storeroom. Because he doesn't really want it, because he has no use for those things, but he just doesn't want you to have it. But the challenge is for the enemy, listen, this is a very important part. The challenge is for the enemy, unlike the thieves, which we never caught, we never received any of our tools back, nobody was ever charged in that case, nobody was ever held accountable for that case. Those tools, I'm sure, are being used or they're thrown over somebody's embankment now. They showed up in one night and took it all. See, what the enemy can't do is just rob you in the blink of an eye. He needs to wean it off of you. He needs to actually put something in so your peace will leak out. He just can't rip it from you. You need to surrender, or he needs to have something in your life where you will let the peace flow out, and then he's there with a bucket scooping it up. So this message, I want us to be aware of what ways is he getting your peace. Now, before I can say anything else again, let me go. Without peace, there is no direction. Without peace, there's no guarding your heart and mind. Without peace, there is chaos. Without peace, there's no God leading in your life. Now, do you want to live a life without peace? I don't either. And the enemy would love to just show up and kick in the door and just scoop up all your peace and run away with it. But he cannot do that. You need to relinquish it. You need to give it to him. You have the power not to give it to him. You have the power to hold on to your peace. I've actually named this message, Keeping My Peace. It's mine and I'll keep it. Jesus gave it to me, not so it could be robbed from me or relinquished to the enemy. So what does he pour into you so that your peace will run out the other side? And he can be there with a bucket and catch it because he doesn't want it to linger around your boots because it might run in your boots. And he runs over and he puts it in the storeroom. You know what the number one peace thief is, or the peace bleeder is? The enemy will endeavor to penetrate our lives with peace displacers. You know what the number one peace displacer is in our world? It's this. It's sin. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to get you to sin. Are you with me? Just let me read a couple of verses. Let me convince us of that. Because if he can get sin running in one orifice, your peace will go out the other orifice. Are you with me? It's going to go out. I'm telling us it's going to go out because sin and peace do not reside in the same element. We need to say no to sin. And the enemy is going to say, whoa, that's pretty good. You may want to check that out. Whoo, looks pretty good. Don't you wish sin always looked bad? And so all of a sudden we start to buy into the sin. Let's look at the scriptures say. It says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Have you ever been tied up peacefully? Man, they put duct tape over me. Man, they shoved me in the bottom of a sleeping bag. You want to get Cheryl to fight, even in a 9-year-old, let her brother try to shove her upside down in a sleeping bag. Not going to work. Because there is no peace when you're bound. Are you with me? Sin binds. You see what's happening there? If I can get you to sin, if I can get you to buy into it, if I can get you to walk in opposition to God, then I'll have your feet bound. And then all of a sudden, I'll get your peace. And I got to be making sense this morning because this is crucial to our lives. So sin tangles us. Look at 1 John. Just let me throw this out there. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. In fact, sin is chaos. So if I can get you, see what that's happening there? If I can just get you to bite a little bit on that temptation, and I can get you to think you can do this and walk with God. Guess what? You can't do this and walk with God. Can you do this and be a child of God? Certainly. Everything is permissible. Not everything is beneficial. We're not talking about being only children of God, secured for when we go to heaven. We're talking about walking with God on this earth. And the big question is, I want to do this, and I want to walk with God. I'm telling you what, that's going to tie you up, and it's going to rob your peace, and then you're going to live in a life of chaos. You're going to say, what is going on in my life? Why is everything going wrong in my life? Why am I upside down? Why do I have this attitude? Right? That's because we bought into sin, and our peace is being sucked out of us because we have no direction. Let me throw one more out there. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities, your sin have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So guess what? If God's going to give us peace and we can't see God because of sin in our life, then all of a sudden we're not getting it from God, right? The enemy said, if I can just get them to bite just a little bit, I wish I could just run in there and just yank their arm off. My grandmother used to tell me that. I'm going to pull your arm off and beat you with the bloody stump. I'm glad she loved me. That was my grandmother. Tough women in Tioga County. The enemy just says, I wish I could just pull it off of you and run away with it, but I can't get it. I got to convince you that sin is okay. I've got to convince you that you can do this and walk with God. I got to convince you that this is okay. I got to convince you that it won't mess up your relationship with me. I got to convince you that it won't tie you up. I got to convince you that it's okay. Because once I can do that and I can get it set in your life, then all of a sudden your peace is leaking and I'm putting it in buckets and I'm putting it in storage. And your life is going to be chaotic. Listen, doesn't mean that there won't be storms in your life. I'm not talking about storms in your life. I'm talking about a storm inside of who you are. Push the button, please. Sin. If you want to write, see? Put it on the no sign. Sin. So this is the sermon card. You want peace? This will say this verse. I would keep this sermon card, this verse card with you. And I would say, God, have mercy on me. Oh God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my sin, wash away my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. God, because I'm done giving over to the enemy. I'm done letting him suck my peace out of me. That's what I want. These four verses, I think, are going to help us keep our peace. You want to keep your peace? This is what we got to do. We're not going to keep our peace and walk in sin. We just can't do it. They don't coincide with one another. Continue and move through the passage or through the scripture. The peace dispenser, number 2A, worry. You can't peacefully worry. It just doesn't do it. I'm so peacefully worrying. You can't do that. Did you ever just fall asleep worrying? Now you don't see that doesn't work, does it? So the peace displacer, 2A, because there's 2B to this, is worry. You know the things we worry about? It says we worry about work and money, and we worry about a friend or a relative's health, or we worry about my own health and my appearance and my family's safety, and I worry about relationships. I worry about my marriage. I worry about my parenting skills. I worry about my friends. I worry about my siblings. I worry about my parents. I worry about my children. I worry about being a leader. I worry about my workplace. I worry. There's lots of things to worry about. I'm not getting it right. I'm dropping the ball. Look at Proverbs 12:25. It says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Because worry weighs you down. And if the enemy can get you and I worrying, then all of a sudden we start leaking peace. Because worry fills the same compartment as peace. And so when worry is being poured in, you're pouring out peace. And listen, he's there with a bucket. I'm telling you, he's there with a bucket. And he's letting that fill up, and he's running it over to his storehouse. He has no intention of using it. He doesn't care. He just doesn't want you to use it because he wants your life and my life to be chaos. He wants me to be chaos. He wants me to have no direction. He wants my heart and my mind not to get the peace or the relationship with God that it's designed to have. Am I making sense? I've come to find out that that question to me is like, amen? You know, I'm not an amen guy. You can amen if you want, but does it make sense? Yeah, so when you shake your head, it's like, hey, oh, preach it, brother, because that's got to make sense, because of my number one fear, and you've heard it before, is that I'm Charlie Brown's teacher. I don't want to be Charlie Brown's teacher, and I don't want to waste the last 30 minutes of your life. I want to give us something that's so important and so vital in our life that I will not relinquish my peace by buying into some sin. It's okay. If we got sin, we need to get on Psalm 51, and we need to get it out so that our peace can refill us. And if we got something worrying us, we need to deal with it, and we need to deal with God, and we need to God to sew that up in us and to meet us in a very special way. An anxious heart weighs down a man. An anxious heart weighs down a man. Matthew says this, the one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it out and make it unfruitful. Do you ever realize that when you're worrying, the promises of God seem so far away? You know why? Because worries don't bring the promises of God close to you. Peace brings the promises of God close to you. Worry puts him out the back door. And all of a sudden, we know the promises of God, but they seem so far away. Where are they, God? And promises like, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, peace takes that and grows it. Worry takes that and squishes it. Because the truth, and Matthew said, the truth lands on you and worries, pushing out the back door, and it's unfruitful in you. So the promises of God are landing on you and me, but our worry won't let them get it in. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, that the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. And when I'm worrying, that doesn't seem true. Isaiah 40:29 said, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And Psalm 34 says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. No wonder he tells us in Matthew, don't worry. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. But the problem is, worry doesn't stop at worry. That's why it's 2A in the peace displacers. Because worry doesn't stop at worry. I think worry will grow. And worry, when it grows, it turns into fear. See, worry is just a predecessor to fear. And you got to get into your life and let you worry. I just got to worry. I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know, they're talking at work. I don't know if I'm going to have my job for very much longer. And so all of a sudden, I start worrying about it. And all of a sudden, that worry starts rooting. And all of a sudden, now I'm afraid. See how that works? That works in my life that way. And so now the worry is starting to be replaced with fear or growing into fear. And so the peace dispenser, displacer, it's not a dispenser, it's a displacer. Number 2B is fear. Fear, look at Psalm 55, look at it says, my thoughts trouble me, okay? I am distraught at the voice of the enemy. And whatever's going on in my life, the hardship is ever going on, it's producing a distraught spirit in me. It's troubling me. Look what happens. As stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish. See what's happening? Now it's increasing. Now my heart is in anguish. The terrors of death assail me. All of a sudden, you see what's happening? His fear is turning into worry. His worry is turning into fear. Fear and trembling have beset me or overwhelmed me. Fear and trembling have overwhelmed me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So here's the peacekeeper when fear or worry is in our life. Push the button, please. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. I put my trust in you, God. And I think we need to wake up when we're worried. I think we need to look in the mirror and say, I will put my trust in you, God. And you know what the word, whose word I praise. You know what that word for praise actually can mean? It means one of two things. It means shine like a bright light or act like a madman. That's the word in the Hebrew for praise. So I think you're somewhere in between. I will not act like a crazy man if you want, but I will not be afraid. You may think I'm nuts, but I'm not going to worry. You may think I'm crazy, but I will not fear because I will trust God. Well, he's got a blank mind, or he's not grasping reality. He should be squished down if he had this. Well, unless God has got peace in my heart, unless God's doing something and I haven't bought into worry. The reason that is so common is because most of us worry to the level of fear. And isn't that a shame, even in a Christian world, that that's more of the norm than somebody acting like a crazy person when they're up against a worry? Whew. Moving along in the message. Peace displacer number three is regret. To feel sorry and sad about something previously done or said and now appears wrong, mistaken, or hurtful to others. I have failed in the past. And I have these regrets. And regret is now taking root in me. And I'm so upside down because I wish I would have done that different. You can be choked to death with I wish I would have. And the older you get, the more chances you have of having a whole pile of I wish I would have. And I wish I would have will not bring you peace. Brothers, and Paul's talking to Philippians, brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken a hold of it. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind. I strain toward what is that in the future. Let me just point out the verse that I think will help us with the regret is Hosea 6. We don't read much of Hosea, do we? You want to read a guy who had an upside down life, you want to read Hosea. He had a very upside-down life, and he trusted God. Look what he says. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces or has allowed this in my life, but he will heal us. See, the problem is, the thing I have in my mind is, oh, I cannot go back and undo that. And Jesus says, you're right, but I can. Do you not understand that? Jesus can go back. Because he's already there. Because he's not bound by the time that we're bound with. We start seeking God on something that's happened. You're going to see healing. You're going to see healing for the past. You're going to see healing in your own heart. And you're going to see healing for the situation that is arrived. You got a rift in your family. Start seeking God for healing. Let him bring healing. Well, that was 25 years ago. Don't worry. Jesus is 25 years ago. And Hosea says, let's seek God because he can heal us. He can bring the healing from here. It's already done with in Hosea's life. It is still right to seek God for healing because he will heal us. That's a good word. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. If you got something that you, right now, some of you have already thought of something that you regret in your past. I'm just saying, spend some time this week in Hosea 6, 1. It's just saying this. God, I know you're there. Heal me from that and heal them from that. God, bring healing to me. God, bring healing to me. I know you're not bound by time. Bring healing to me. Let me finish with displacer number 4. this morning? Busyness. Busyness will displace your peace. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. What an awesome thing to do. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is a lackey? Doesn't she know the cupcakes have got to be iced? Don't she know that the meatloaf needs to be checked? Don't you, she know there's a lot of things to get done here? She needs to get busy. Jesus, tell her to get busy." That's pretty bold, isn't it? I mean, she's not just whistling Dixie here. She knows. She knows. "Don't you even care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Exclamation point. Can you imagine coming into Jesus and just giving him the what for? What an exclamation point. Martha, Martha. That's like Edward Walter. When my dad or my mom said that, it was like, whoop. "Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." She's spending time with me. Our life, listen, New Lifers, our life is busy. But if the enemy can get you busy and busy and busy and busy and busy, your peace will wane and wane and wane and wane. And then your life is chaos, and then you have no direction, and then your heart and your mind are in the weeds, and you're saying, "Where did it go?" Drop by drop by drop, the enemy has got us to leak peace, scoop it up, put it in storage. He doesn't have any use for it, but he doesn't want you to use it because it's something that God has given you. One more verse. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers labor in vain." Listen, whatever's going on, Jesus is saying, whatever's going on in your life, unless I'm directing you, you're working for nothing. Oh, you might get $1 million and you'll be so chaotic. "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." And the sleep there is not just 6 or 8 hours a night. It's peace. Don't let sin rob you. Don't let worry rob you. Don't let worry move to fear and rob you. Don't let regret get in the way. Don't let busyness suck your peace from you. I think I got these four verses on my desk, and I'm seeking God every single day because it grinds my teeth that the enemy is going to steal something that Jesus has given me. Stand with me. Father, my mind, you knew my mind would go to the word praise and acting like a madman. It's just where my mind goes. And Father, I think it's hilarious or sad in the same breath that we would be looking like we're crazy when we're praising you in the middle of fear and regret and storm.
and worry. Father, help us. Help us with these four powerful, very breath of God printed on this 4x6 index card. Saying, sin, you're done robbing me. Worry, you're done. And I'm going to come to the Lord every single time. Worries are not going to go away. But either's the Lord. And I'm not going to let that worry move into a fear. And I'm not going to regret. I'm going to take it and let God heal me. And Father, help me, help us, not let the busyness of our lives get us running in chaos and displacing our peace that passes all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds, will direct us, and will give us the foundation in Jesus. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.